And I love that. The simple way that the Lord has given us to worship, and that's praying and preaching and singing. And I've enjoyed the singing part. I've enjoyed the praying part tonight. Felt the Lord was in it, and pray that we'll be blessed to enjoy the preaching part as well. Not only me as I make an effort to speak to you, but you as you make an effort to listen and to heed and to learn from the Word of God as Brother Mike prayed in his prayer. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me, I have had a passage of Scripture. Okay. I've had a passage of Scripture on my mind all day today and really this week, and I have to share with you what's on my mind. Can you hear me okay? Okay. All right. I want to share with you what's on my mind. As I heard one brother one time says, if we preach something, it's going to be, has to be what's on our mind. We can't preach what's on your mind. So I pray that what's on my mind has been given to me of the Lord. And He surely has stirred my heart to do a lot of searching this week in regard to this passage. And it doesn't mean when we do that we're going to preach on it, but it's a blessing when the Lord does lead you to a place where you've been able to spend some time. And if He's in the matter, it'll be good, and it'll be good for us. And it'll be good for us to read it together tonight. And if we look to Him, whether I'm blessed to, or feel especially blessed to speak to you or not, it'll still be beneficial because God provides in spite of me. And I know you're glad of that. I'm glad of that too, that God provides in spite of us. And it is our duty, though, to look to the Lord, to pray to the Lord. So I ask you, just pray for me as I stand before you. This is a prayer of David. We find, as I mentioned this morning, Psalm 17 is also a prayer of David. And that's the only two places I find in the Psalms, unless I'm mistaken, where it's identified the Psalm as a prayer of David. And it's not just a psalm of David, but it's a prayer that David offers. And I find that very interesting. And it's been a blessing to me reading this prayer and learning from this prayer and trying to think about the importance of us trying to pray in a similar fashion. I believe those prayers have been given to us in the Word of God to help us, as all the Bible is given to us for our learning. This instruction is given to us in the Word of God about what's okay with prayer, what's not okay. I mean, the disciples, if you remember one time, asked the Lord, teach us, Lord, teach us to pray. We do not know how to pray as we ought. And the Apostle Paul says that. But the Spirit maketh intercession for us with hard groanings that we can't utter. But it's good to also know that in the Word of God we have that which directs us to that which is appropriate and what we ought to be praying for. And it tells us what it is we truly need. And I find that in this prayer, what's really important as we go to a throne of grace. And what a blessing it is to be able to go to the throne of grace. What a privilege prayer is. One of Brother Terry's favorite hymns is "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." And that hymn mentions in it, oh, what needless pain we bear because we don't take it to the Lord in prayer. And we have access by and through the Lord Jesus Christ unto a throne of grace. And many of our songs are prayers that are offered and spoken unto the Lord. And it's good to have a psalm that is a prayer as well. I'll just read it in your hearing. A prayer of David. It says, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me. For I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. O thou my God, save thy servant that trusteth in thee. Be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Isn't that a good verse? He says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon thee. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer, and attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods there is none like unto thee, O Lord, neither are there any works like unto thy works. This is Psalm 86. We're reading at verse 9. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, and shall glorify thy name. For thou art great, and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart, and I will glorify thy name forevermore. For great is thy mercy toward me, and thou hast delivered my soul from the lowest hell. O God, the proud are risen against me, and the assemblies of violent men have sought after my soul, and have not set thee before them. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. O turn unto me and have mercy upon me. Give thy strength unto thy servant, and save the son of thine handmaid. Show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hope in me and comforted me. David here says, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I'm poor and needy. That should immediately let us know that it's not about us getting good enough for God to hear us. It's not about us reaching up to where He is and climbing up to where He is and becoming righteous enough so that He might hear us. We don't want to be praying like the Pharisee who said, Lord, I thank Thee I'm not like as other men are. Who trusted in himself that he was righteous. That parable was given to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and they despised others. Tonight, if anybody needs the help of the Lord, and anybody who's poor and needy, you ought to feel and I ought to feel like it's me. I need the Lord tonight. I need Him to help me as I make an effort to speak to you. You need Him to help you as you make an effort to learn from His Word. We came here to worship. Brethren, we've met to worship. We need Him to help us to be able to worship in a way that honors and glorifies Him. We need Him to lift us up tonight by His grace and by His mercy so that we might understand and recognize what a great blessing the Lord's kingdom is, what a great blessing His church is, what the Lord has truly done for us, who, if we got what we deserve, would receive nothing but the very wrath of God. But rather than receiving His wrath, we can look to the Lord for mercy. Because the Bible tells us that He's full of mercy, He's good, He's ready to forgive, and He's plenteous in mercy, and He's that to all that call upon thee. Now, the world might say, well, see there, you have to call on Him before He'll be good to you. You have to reach up to Him before He'll reach down to you. But the Bible teaches just the opposite from that. The Bible teaches in John 6, 44 that no, Jesus says, even about Himself, He says, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. And so it takes a work of grace before you ever recognize you're poor and needy. You know, you won't come to eat unless you're hungry. You won't come asking God to help you unless you feel that you're in need. You can't see that you're in need until the Lord quickens you and makes you alive. You can't see His kingdom. You can't see and understand that I need fellowship with Him. Though all men are in trouble, and if it is not for the grace of God, our end is not going to be good. As a matter of fact, what awaits us is eternal separation from God and destruction outside of the very grace of God. But you and I won't know that, see that, or understand it, or appreciate that until God comes to where we are and awakens us by His grace. I don't know when He did that for you, but obviously tonight you're here. on a Saturday night to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. So somehow, some way, the Lord in His mercy and His grace came where you were and made you aware that I need Him. And that you can't make it without Him. Now, you didn't go to Him to get that. The world would tell you, you've got to reach up to Him. If you don't reach up to Him, everything that He did will be of no benefit to you or no help to you. And everything that He tried to do will be unsuccessful if you don't do for yourself what He's given you the responsibility to do. First of all, the Lord never gave us the responsibility to make ourselves alive. And the reason is we didn't have the power, the ability, or the will to do that. The wicked, as we said this morning, through the pride of his countenance, he will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Which simply means that he'll never come to God, he'll never look to God, he'll never lean upon God, he'll never trust in God, he'll never cry to God. Though everything may hit him in this world, all the troubles of this world, he will never submit to the fact that he needs God, because it's not in his nature, it's not in my nature, it's not in your nature to do that. The Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness unto him, which means he can't see them, he can't know them. They are spiritually discerned, which means they are spiritually understood. And it takes God to give us the eye and the ear and the heart. And he does that in the new birth when he gives us life. He gives us the ability to see the kingdom of God, to see the workings of God's grace here in this world. And he gives us the heart that then desires to pray unto God. Do you recognize tonight how much you need him? Well, not maybe how much. Do you recognize tonight that you need him? Well, I hope before we finish that you'll see you need him even more than you think you know that you need him. And I'm thankful that you know that you need him. But I hope we can see tonight I need him even more than that. And here's the good news. The God that we need is there for each and every one of us, not because of what we are, but because of what he has done for us, and it's all wrapped up in his eternal, everlasting love, that nothing can separate you from his love. David here asked the Lord for many things. Many things that God has already promised. I love that about prayer. You can ask for God. You can ask God for things that he's already promised to give you. When you ask God, Lord, don't leave me. You know what he said? I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise he's already made. But it's okay to ask him, Lord, don't leave me. Even though he said, I'll never leave you, you can come and say, Lord, don't leave me. That doesn't really change God. God does not change at our whims and our commandments. But God is God. And he's not going to change. If he would change, he'd be imperfect. He's holy and righteous. This tells us that our God is holy. That means he's without fault, he's without blemish. So it really doesn't change him, but it makes us more aware of what he's already promised. And it will supply unto us a blessing that he's already provided for us, and we'll have access to by faith into the grace. As he said, we have access by faith into the grace. Get this. We have access by faith. What is faith? It's the ability to believe. And that's the gift of God given to you in the new birth. And you have access by faith into the grace. But notice what it is. Not into the work. It's into the grace wherein you are able to stand. In other words, we have to trust in the Lord for everything, even our ability to pray. He says, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me. That means if God's going to hear me, I'm not going to be able to reach up to him. He has to bow down, humble himself in this sense to behold the things that are on the earth. Brother John preached very ably from Psalm 113 today. And one of the verses there that jumps off the page when I read over in Psalm 86 about the Lord bowing down his ear is Psalm 113, verse 6. Here is our God. Let's get verse 5. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high? Where does God dwell? Well, he's on high. That's why when we were taught to pray in the model prayer, some call it the Lord's Prayer. In reality, it's really not the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer you can read in John 17 and other places, but one of them is in John 17. But the Lord's Prayer is the one that that which is referred to as the Lord's Prayer is really better referred to as a model prayer that He gave to us to teach us how to pray. And how, not that we just use those exact words, but He gives us the pattern. Aren't you glad the Lord gives us a pattern? And one of the things He says in that pattern, He says, "Our Father who art in heaven." Where is our Father? First of all, He's our Father. Isn't it good to know that the God we pray to is our Heavenly Father? Now, He's not our Father because we made ourselves His children. The world will teach you that, but that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are the sheep of His pasture." That is, He made us. We didn't make Him. That's good tonight to know. You know how many of God's children don't really know that tonight? They're God's children. They're going to be in heaven. But they think that there's something they needed to do in order to assure that they were God's children. And they're trusting in what they did. And rather than having peace in that, it won't change the reality that they're God's children. They'll be at home in glory. But they're not happy here. At least they're not as happy as you and I ought to be tonight. Now, I don't know. Maybe you're not happy. I hope you're happy. I know sometimes I'm not happy because sometimes I'm complaining and murmuring. If you don't believe that, ask my wife. Better yet, don't ask my wife because she might tell you more than I wanted to tell you. There's a whole lot of times I'm thinking very negatively about all that's going on in the world around me. Are you there sometimes? I'm telling you, you and I, as God's little children, have every reason tonight to be encouraged because we have access to a throne of grace. For the God who is our Father, who is in heaven, and He has said, if you ask, you shall receive. If you seek, you shall find. If you knock, it'll be opened unto you. And not everything is included in that, but everything that's good for you is included in that. And everything that He's bought and paid for you is included in that. And our peace and our rest and our joy and our comfort in this world is included in that. And it's like a little treasure in the kingdom of God in a field that He's hid in a field that the Lord said we should sell all that we have and buy the field. Tonight I hope you're working as hard as you can to sell everything you got and you're grabbing a hold to that treasure as much as you can. Because I'm telling you, it's a valuable treasure. And you find that treasure many times in prayer. By just taking it to the Lord. Now I see my little redhead granddaughter at times when I just say things to her. And it's so wonderful when a child seems like they can understand some things so much clearer than we can with all of our thoughts and everything else. You know, I'll be talking to her that God made the sky and God made the blue sky and God made the grass and God made the flowers. And she just said, and you can talk to Him too. And I said, yes, you can pray to Him. And He hears you too. I said, yes, and He hears you. And He'll answer. If you're in trouble, you can holler and He'll answer you. Real simple, isn't it? That's what David's doing. He's just hollering. He's begging God. He says, "Bow down thine ear, O Lord. Hear me as I need thee tonight. As I need thee, the Lord, be with me. Be with my family. Be with my loved ones. Lord, I can't fix all of the things. And I don't even know what to do. But I'm telling you, we've got a God who said, ask and seek and knock. And it'll be given to you in the way and manner that it's best for you. And you and I can then sit back and rest and be settled. Whatever God's answer is. Sometimes it's not just what I want. It's not what you want. But it's what's best, isn't it? And when He gives it to us, we can say, okay, it's all right. And one day, He's going to take us out of this troubled world anyway, and we're going to see Him face to face in glory, and there's not going to be any more problems of trials or troubles. If you believe that tonight, shouldn't you be happy? Shouldn't I be happy? If I had all the money in the world, sometimes I think if I had this much money, I could do this. Or if I had that much money, I could do that. But you know, you could have all the money in the world and you could be struck with a disease that robbed you of every blessing that money might afford. You can't buy a doctor good enough to take care of it. And even the money can bring problems and troubles on your life that you didn't have before. Worries and concerns that you didn't have before. And so whatever you've been blessed with, and all of us have food and raiment, you're clothed tonight. And I'm looking at, I'm not being able, we all have plenty to eat. And some of us a little more to eat. That's why I'm going to the doctor and having a little trouble. I eat a little more than I ought to. How good has God been to us? He's been so wonderful. Can we not bow down our ear, ask the Lord to bow down thine ear and hear me and say, thank thee, Lord, for being so good to a sinner like me. Thank thee, O Lord, for loving me enough to send thy darling son to die for me. Thank thee, O Lord, for purchasing a home in heaven for me that I could never have purchased. Thank thee, O Lord, for taking my sins off of me and placing them on your darling son. And thy son was willing to die in our room instead on the tree of the cross. And he went to the grave, and I was with him when he went to the grave. I was in him. I was chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Not only was David there, and David could pray this, but Brother Gary can pray this, and Brother so-and-so and Sister so-and-so can pray this. Why? Because the Lord and all that he's done. We are his servants tonight, not because we made ourselves servants, but because he bought and paid for us. We belong to him. You're his. And he's not going to lose one of his children. That's why when he said, preserve my soul, that's what he said in the second verse, preserve my soul. That means you and I can count on his preservation. There's a whole lot of God's little children tonight working hard trying to stay preserved. Well, they didn't get themselves to secure in the first place, much less be able to keep themselves. Somebody, I've heard preachers in the past say, somebody said they saved so-and-so and so-and-so, and they said, and when I heard that they saved this one and saved that one, I asked them then, what are you going to do with them now that you saved them? How are you going to keep them? How are you going to preserve them? First of all, we can't save anybody in any eternal sense. There is a sense in which the preaching of the gospel saves them that believes, but it's not about how you get to heaven, it's how you get happy here. It's how you enjoy the blessings here. And even that takes the grace of God. I can preach with all the clarity in the world. If the Lord blesses, if the Lord doesn't bless, can't preach at all. But if the Lord blesses, I can preach with all the clarity and the power in the world. But it won't reach your eye or your ear or your heart unless God opens it. And then when God has opened it, don't close it. When God has opened your heart, don't let your heart become gross. When your ear's been opened, don't let it become dull of hearing. When you've been given an eye, don't close your eyes. Heard a brother preaching the other night just talking about that. What's one thing we can do to help us better understand the Word of God? Well, if we closed our eyes, one thing we can do is open our eyes, isn't it? We ought to open our eyes. And how do we open them? Well, God's given us eyes. Now, if he hadn't given you eyes, if he hadn't given you sight, you can't open your eyes. But if he's opened your eyes, sometimes we do what? We close them. We ought to be here tonight hungry. He says, preserve my soul. Over in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, some very familiar language to us there in the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John. He writes, verse 27. And he's talking about his sheep. I love to talk about the sheep. His sheep are his people. He says in the 10th verse of the 10th chapter, he says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But here's here's the difference between the thief and the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't this good? He says, I am come that they might have life. Now, that didn't mean I'm coming that maybe they might have life or maybe they might not have life. It's not might in that sense. This is how we get life. How do we get life? The Lord came. And what did he do? He said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. In other words, not only did he give us life in the sense of making us alive, but he's given us a little earnest of our heavenly blessings right now that we can enjoy while we're here in this world. We sang that hymn, I'm dwelling on a mountain. That's not talking about when I get home to glory. That's talking about enjoying the joy of Mount Zion, the joy of the whole earth right now while I'm living here. It's talking about enjoying the kingdom. It's talking about having a taste of the treasure that is hidden in a field. It's talking about finding a pearl of great price. As a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, you find a pearl of great price and then you sell all that you have so you can buy that pearl. Listen, if God didn't give you a hunger for the pearl, you won't even be interested. If God hadn't given you an eye to see the treasure, and the ability to see the treasure, you can't even see the treasure. But if the Lord has shown you in the blessings of His church, what a blessing it is to hear about Jesus. What a blessing to hear what He did for me, what He did for you. What a blessing to know that when He saved us, He didn't try to do it, He didn't want to do it, but He came to do it and He fulfilled that. He gave us life and gave it more abundantly. Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I'm telling you, Jesus is the treasure, and Jesus is the pearl. And Jesus, and having fellowship with Him, is more valuable to us than all the blessings that you could have, naturally speaking, in this world. And when we see that, we're willing to give it all away. Now, the wonderful thing is, God will add to you just what you need. When He says what? Seek ye what? First, the kingdom of heaven, a kingdom of God, and His righteousness, and all these things, what are they? Your food, your raiment, everything you need naturally, your health, everything that you need, He'll add to you. Does that mean you're always going to be healthy and wealthy? No. You might be sick, and you might be poor, but I've seen a lot of God's little children, sick and poor, who were wealthy and healthy in the Lord. And they left this world, even though their body was falling apart, with peace in their heart, knowing there's a better place than here for me, and the Lord's going to take care of me. I'm in a win-win situation. If He heals my body, amen, it'll be a wonderful day. If He sees fit to take me out of this world, He'll give me a better healing than what I could get naturally. I hope we're living like that. And I'm like that a lot of the time, but then sometimes once something starts happening a little bit, I go start falling apart. You know what I need to do? Come back. Come back and remember the treasure. Remember who Jesus is. Remember what He's done for me. He said, preserve my soul, verse 2. Preserve my soul. Let's get that verse 27 through 29. Will the Lord preserve your soul? He says this, my sheep hear my voice. How many of His sheep are going to hear His voice? Every one of them. What does that mean? They'll hear His voice. That means He will quicken them. That means they're going to be born again. That means they're going to be made alive. They're going to be given life. John 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice. And He says, and I know them. Does Jesus know His sheep? Absolutely. He knows them all by name. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. The Bible says He foreknew them, which means He foreloved them. He loved, and when did He know them? When did He choose them? Before the very foundation of the world. So what did I have to do with that, and what did you have to do with that? Absolutely nothing. Y'all say, we know that. Well, you need to know it again, and I need to know it again. So why? So when I get all shaken and discouraged, I don't forget who I am and in what relationship I am with the one I'm talking to. He is my Father who art in heaven. Not that I'm bold in an arrogant way, but that I'll come boldly to a throne of grace, recognizing He'll hear me even though I messed up so badly at times. The reason is because nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. What does He say? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, how does the sheep follow Him? Every one of them will follow Him in regeneration. That means not all of them will follow Him, not all of us. Do we all follow Him in every precept and example that He's laid before us? I say to you, if you think you have, Phariseeism and hypocrisy has gotten a hold of you. Because we all mess up. We've all come short of the glory of God. But the wonderful good news is every one of His children will follow Him in regeneration. They will hear the voice of the Son of God, and everyone that hears lives. God didn't try to born in again anybody. He didn't try to get somebody to be His children. He knew who they were, and He comes in time somewhere between conception, when life begins, that's what the Bible teaches, and death, when the spirit and soul leave the body, they will all be quickened and made alive. They will all come to Him in regeneration. When He calls them, they will follow. That means they will be made alive. And then look what He says in verse 28. He said, preserve my soul. Is God going to preserve your soul? Is God going to take care of your life? Little child of grace, He says, I give unto them eternal life. Now, what kind of life did He give us? eternal life. Some people teach you can have eternal life today and then lose it. I say to you, if you could have eternal life and lose it, you never had eternal life. Does that make sense? Because if you have eternal life, it's how long? It's eternal life. And if it's eternal life, that means it's going to be forever. It's an impossibility if you've been given eternal life to lose it, because if you could, it wouldn't be life. It wouldn't be eternal life. It would be temporary life. Because you had it for a while and then you lost it. No, eternal life is not only what you start when you get to home in glory. It's what you start right now when He quickens you and makes you alive as a little child of God. And you will not lose that life. That which is in you, though you'll die corporally, you won't die spiritually. To be absent from the body is not to be dead and out of existence. It's to be present with the Lord, which means we've got a home in glory awaiting us, because the God who is our shepherd gives unto us eternal life. And so when you pray, "Lord, preserve my soul," that means I can turn my life over to Him. I can turn my destiny over to Him. I don't have to be worried about me holding on to it and me keeping it. I don't have to go to the priest or the pastor for him to keep it and hold on to it. I don't have to have somebody there when I die to make sure they pray the right prayer to get my soul to glory, or make sure my body's offered up to the Lord. No, Jesus, when He came, gave His life for His people and secured our eternal home. And nothing can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, because we've been given eternal life. Now that ought to make us happy tonight. The life you have, you didn't get on your own. He's going to keep it. He's going to give it to you. He's given it to you. You have it to enjoy. He has already apprehended us, which means He's laid hold of us. Now, because He's apprehended us, we ought to apprehend Him. Somebody said, "Well, you're sounding like double talk." No, I'm sounding what the Apostle Paul said. He said he strove to apprehend Him who had already apprehended Him. In other words, I'm laying hold onto the Lord because He's laid hold of me. And I need to grow in that, and I haven't reached that yet. Have you? I haven't walked as close to Him as I ought to. I haven't loved Him as much as I ought to. I haven't prayed as sincerely as I ought to. I haven't preached as good as I ought to. I haven't loved the brethren as good as I ought to. I'm growing and I'm looking to the Lord. I want to do it better. I want to lay hold onto all the blessings that He has supplied to me as much as I can when I live. And even the very day that I leave this world, there's something better awaiting. The manifestation of the sons of God has not yet appeared. And what does that mean? That means we're not there yet. We haven't arrived yet. Isn't it going to be a wonderful day when we're made like Him all the way? When we in body and soul and spirit are going to be made like Him. And He's preserved us for that. He tells us that in His Word. We'll look at that. And I'll probably just close with that verse. We've gotten to verse 2. That got to verse 1 this morning. I guess I got to verse 2. That's okay. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Hear that. When shall they perish? Never perish. Listen, when I feel like I'm about to perish, you think God's children can feel like they're perishing when they're not really perishing? Y'all remember that ship in the boat? I mean, the ride in the boat, when they were on the Sea of Galilee and the storm was coming, and they said, "Master, you're asleep. Wake up. Don't you know we're about to perish?" Oh, you got the master of the ocean and sky and sea in the ship with you, and here you are shaking and quaking, thinking you could go down when the one who made the heavens and the earth is right there in the ship with you. The living Word of God was right there with you. And He's looked at him and said, "Oh, ye a little faith." And He spoke to the wind and the waves and calmed the sea. On another occasion, while the sea was boisterous, He comes walking on the sea. He doesn't have to calm it to walk on it. He can walk on it when you're in the midst of the trouble. And that's what He said in this seventh verse. Get this. "In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee." The little Piper Jane says, when she said, "You can just holler and call upon God and He'll come." It's what the verse says. He says, "I will, in the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee." What trouble? Whatever trouble you face. You got a sick child, you can call upon the Lord. You got a broken heart, you can call upon the Lord. When you don't even know what's wrong, you can call upon the Lord. When you feel down and low and out and feel like our life is just not worth the living, we can get distressed and troubled in this world. God's little children can get there. But you and I have a place to go when we're like that, don't we? We lost a loved one, our heart's broken, and we don't know which way to turn. Feel so lonely, we don't know what to do, and wonder how we're going to make it another day. Remember, you've got a friend that loved you, that's never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. He has preserved you, and he's given you everlasting life, and never shall you perish. And when you call on him, it says, notice what he says. He says, in the day of my trouble I will call upon thee. And I love the positive language here. Listen to David. By inspiration of God, he says, for thou wilt answer me. Does God answer prayers? Absolutely. Somebody said, I've been praying and praying and praying, and God hadn't answered. We'll keep on praying. And God maybe, well, God can say yes to our prayers. And he does often. Thanks be to God. But God says no to our prayers. And thanks be to God, he often says no. You know why? Because he knows what's best for us. He knows what we stand in need of. And you want the answer of no when God gives it, because that's what's best for you. And then sometimes God just simply tells us to wait. Wait on the Lord. And he that waits on his Lord, on the Lord's going to do what? He's going to renew his strength. So that when you get in trouble, you can mount up like an eagle. And you can face that trouble and that trial and that tribulation. Notice verse 17. He says, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast hoped me. That is, he's helped me and he's comforted me. He's saying, Lord, move in my life in such a way that not only I see it, but those that are around me that even can't even understand you're doing it, know someone's helping him. You know, you read about that a lot in the Old Testament. When God's little children would pray to the Lord, the enemies didn't know who helped them, but they knew somebody helped them. Because what should have happened is they should have been destroyed. You imagine a little boy by the name of David coming up to the giant Goliath and facing such a giant. And Goliath laughing at that little lad and that little ruddy youth. And he said, what do you bring little children out before me? And David looks at this giant and says, this uncircumcised Philistine, who is this that defies the armies of the living God? And you know what the Lord did? He showed by the power that he gave to little David with a sling and a stone, how he was delivered. He gave him a sign that made all the Philistines understand. Though they may not have known and not all about God, they knew that something's going on here, that it was this was unusual. Can the Lord bless you to stand up when it doesn't look like you ought to be able to? I said not only can he, but I said that he has. Again and again and again. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me... How did we get to be his? Boy, that's plain language, isn't it? How do people miss that? You know, how do you miss that? How do we get to be his? How do we get to belong to Jesus? Did we choose Jesus? He says, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. You're talking about secure. We're doubly secured. We're secure in the hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're secure in the hand of the Father. And notice verse 30. To show the divinity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, I and my Father are one. And I'm telling you. We're safe and secure in the Lord. And the God the Father, God the Son. And the movement of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. And I said I was going to close, so let's look at one verse over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We'll close with it. Verse 23, he said, preserve me, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. That means He's going to set you apart holy. That's every little child of grace. And He says, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. What is God going to preserve? This is 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23. He's going to preserve our spirit. He's going to preserve our soul. And He's going to preserve our body. And is going to be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 24, we'll close with this. Faithful is He that calleth you, who also will do it. That settles it, doesn't it? So where should we trust tonight for our salvation? In heaven and immortal glory, that's the Lord of glory. And where should we trust tonight for our timely deliverance in any trouble or circumstance in our life? That's the same God, the same one that David prayed to and looked to and leaned upon. And He's here for us tonight. That's His promise to us. May the Lord bless us to lay hold on to Him, to apprehend Him as much as we can, because He's already apprehended you. I'm glad He grabbed me, don't you? And it's not how good the little child is holding on to the parent that makes the child secure. It's how well the parent's holding on to the little child. And the parent may let loose. A mother may forsake her suckling child. That may happen in this world. But I'm telling you, the God of heaven will not forsake one of His little children. He's apprehended you. He's done for you what you could not do. And He will never let loose. Now, because of that, should we try to pull away? No. Let's press towards the mark of the high calling of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lest for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ our Lord, let's apprehend, let's hold on to Him as much as we can. Let's see the treasure hid in the field, sell everything we have, and buy the field. What does that mean? That means become a part of His church. You see, the field doesn't have all treasure. Sometimes in the church you got some bumps, don't we? It's not always easy. Because in the church, you have the treasure, you have the Lord Jesus Christ, but you also have some bumps along the way. You have some challenges, you have some things that are not just the treasure, but the treasure's in the field. So in order to enjoy the treasure, you got to buy the field, which means you become a part of His church. You become faithful. That means when you get in trouble and you have problems and you have circumstances, you don't turn and go the other way, but you, because of the treasure. And what is the treasure again? It's Jesus Christ. And when you see that in your brethren, that's how we love a brethren, because I see Christ in you, the hope of glory. And sometimes we got to look at the flesh sometimes too, because all of us got some of that in us, don't we? How much that can get in the way. Lord, help us to lay aside this old flesh as much as we can and look to Jesus and lean upon Him and do what He says. And as we heard today from Brother Forrest, as we do that, we'll have communion with Him and He with us. We'll feel the manifestation of His love. And that's when we can sing, from the heart, Beulah Land. I'm dwelling in Beulah Land. Praise God, I'm dwelling in Beulah Land. I'm living here below in this Beulah Land the Lord's given me. Looking forward to the day I'll go fully in there and see the full manifestation of the sons of God. And give Him the praise and the honor and glory there in perfection. Here, though, let's do it the best we can. I appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.